Good morning. Would like to extend a very, very happy Mother's Day to the mothers, the grandmothers, even the great-grandmothers that are with us today. We give you our warmest love and appreciation for all that you've done as a mother in your life, the wonderful care and upbringing that you share. We greatly appreciate and honor you. I want to welcome Lynn back to us. She's visiting from Texas. She's been here quite often, and she's back in town again. We wish you a very warm welcome. We have a couple of prayer requests. Armita requested prayers for her father, who has been very sick lately and was hospitalized. He is stable now, and we will go to God on behalf of him in just a moment. And also, Garfield is thanking everybody for the prayers that he and Emerson made it to and from Michigan just fine, and he asked for continued prayers for his brother and for his mom. So, and I love his last part here. He says, "We are so blessed to be members of the Church of Christ," and that's a given. The blessings we have as brothers and sisters, and just being members of the church, is tremendous. Let us go to God real quick on behalf of these, and then we will get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you now, first and foremost asking that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong, the sins that we commit against you and each other. Dear God, we are thankful that we can come to you in prayer. We ask that you be with Armita's father, be with the doctors as they care for him. Our desire is that his health will continue to improve and he will be comforted. Dear God, we are also thankful for the improvements that Garfield's brother has made. We ask that you be with him, be with his mother as she continues to care for him. Dear God, we're mindful right now of the mothers and their influence that they have on us. We are so thankful for them. We ask that you bless them and continue to be with them and let them be tremendous positive influences in our lives. We pray everything through your Son Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at a lesson today. Turn this on, we will. Out of the darkness came life. I know when I was younger, I would look into the dark, and it's a little scary. Not knowing, I think it's not knowing what's out there. We've all been there. There's been times in our life that we've been in dark places. It's scary. When you're in the midst of it, you wonder, will I ever get out of it? Or is this it? And this lesson gives us hope. We look at some of the people in the Bible that have been in some dark places, or others have been looking into dark places. One of those that comes to mind is Jonah. I think one of the best lessons I ever heard about Jonah was from Preston. And the visual image he gave about, here is Jonah in the belly of a fish, and I just picture it, seaweed wrapped, he's wrapped up in seaweed, and then that great fish is in the bottom of the ocean. That's pretty dark. thinking you're pretty far from God. Does God even know I exist? And of course, we know the end of that story. Out of that dark place. That's not the end of the story for Jonah. Lazarus. When Lazarus had died, he spent 4 days dead in the tomb. Jesus finally shows up and he tells the people, roll the stone away from the grave where he was entombed. And as the people are outside, his sisters, his friends, his loved ones, his neighbors, they're looking into the tomb. All they see is dark. Inside, they know death was in there. All they see is dark. And Jesus tells Lazarus to come forth. And out of that darkness came life. One of the examples we're going to use today is the Philippian jailer. We're going to be here in Acts 16 for the rest of the lesson. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be starting in verse 22. This is a wonderful account of the interaction of people, of an example of an individual that never thought anything could get better. So much that he was about to take his own life. You talk about being in a dark place. It gets better. We have the setting, starting in verse 22. It says, "Then the multitude rose up together against them," talking about Paul and Silas and the Christians that were with him, "and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely." So, because that they had been preaching Jesus, and as it had been accused of them turning the world upside down, the magistrates beat them, had them beaten, and thrown into prison. And in verse 24 it says, "And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." This is not just somebody that's going to be held for a little bit. This is the prison within the prison, in the deepest, darkest holding cells there were. This is hard lockdown. And we had talked about this in our Wednesday night Bible study a few weeks ago. In fact, we covered this. Marion and Tracy worked in the prison system. This is no cupcake place here. This is not, and it's not an era of having TVs and workout rooms. This is hardcore right here. They are in the inner part of the prison being kept secure. I find it interesting their reaction, how they react to this. Everybody faces hardships in life. And if you haven't, good for you. But how they reacted to a beating, being thrown into jail, is commendable. In verse 25 it says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." and the prisoners were listening to them. This is not only a way for them to cope, this is how they were dealing with it, a hard situation, but they were an inspiration and an encourager to those around them. Their voices were going through the bars and so forth, and other people heard them. Other people that were not as bad off as they heard how they reacted. They weren't crying and moaning their fate and you know, why me? They were praying to God and singing hymns to God. This was their reaction and the influence. I wish the inspired word of God would have gotten a little bit deeper into the reaction of the other prisoners, because you know it had an influence on them. And then you had the big event, an earthquake. Verse 26 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. So here's everything's shaken. The doors are being flung open of a prison. And even their chains and the stocks that they were in are coming undone. That's not an everyday occurrence. And here we see the reaction of the jailer in verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. The keeper of the jails often lived right on site. They kind of had the room, their board, and they oversaw the prison. So he's in another portion. He's feeling this earthquake. It wakes him up. It's well past midnight now. He comes running in. He sees, the first thing he sees, doors are opened. He's just assuming everybody has fled for the hills. And his first thought is, I got to kill myself. I am going to, when my superiors get word of this, the things that will be done to me. He took his job serious, and there was great responsibility for people like this. Something where prisoners are escaping, you would be held accountable. Who knows if he had seen before things that had happened to people, the beatings that they incurred. He has his sword out, about to kill himself. That's how serious it was. He was about to kill himself. And then we see the result in verse 28 and 29. But Paul called out from his cell, pitch black, with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in. He's hearing out of a dark cell. He can't see in there. There's no lights. He called for a light and he goes in there. And he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Out of this dark place comes the words of life. And then the jailer has a question. In verse 30, he says, and he brought them out and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He realized what had taken place. They were in there as religious prisoners. People were upset about the effects of what they were doing, preaching this Jesus. They had been beaten and cast into the inner prison, and now an earthquake has come and everything, chains were loosed, doors were opened. Not just shaking, but the doors, the chains are cast off, and he was putting two and two together. This is their God doing this. Nobody went in there and, you know, they weren't Houdini picking the locks and all this stuff. Their God was behind this. And I've been the one that did this to them. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's a question every one of us that are Christians, and most of us are in here, we've all asked that very same question. We've been in that spot. We've been in the dark before, wondering, and have asked ourselves, what must I do to be saved? Because we realize we're not. And here was the answer in verses 31 and 32. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. A lot of our religious friends would end there. They stop right there. All you have to do is believe. But we keep it in context and we read on. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. They gave him the words of what to believe in. They spoke those words. Just like the Holy Spirit inspired the writers, they were telling them. Just like God spoke the world into existence through Paul and Silas, they told them what they must do. And then the jailer repented and obeyed. In verse 33 and 34, it says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. That's repentance. He was the one that probably was the one that did the beatings. Either he did or somebody else, but he washed their stripes. He was appreciative of them. The end result was him changing. Washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Somewhere in those words that were spoke to them about belief, you can infer that they instructed him to be baptized. And they did. Now, when he had brought them into his house, which was probably right there on the grounds of the prison, he brings them into his own house, set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. That's one of those of you that your families are saved with you. That is a great joy. To know that you and your household are saved. No wonder he rejoiced. There's nothing better to rejoice over. But we see he just didn't believe. He repented. And he obeyed those words that had been spoken to him. The jailer. In these few verses, we see the plan of salvation unfolding. He heard the word of God because it was spoken to him. He believed. He was told to believe. He repented of his actions. He changed his ways. He was baptized. And it is inferred from the context that he confessed his belief. It doesn't have a verse where he verbally spoke out his belief, but all of his actions, you can infer that he did. What a wonderful passage. I don't know about you, but I've been in some dark places in my life. I know some of you have been also. What if Paul wouldn't have spoke up? What would have been the result of the jailer then? If he just kept to himself, well, it's none of my business. I can't control what other people do. Out of that dark jail cell came the words of life. Next time we're in that dark place, seek out God's word. It will bring us life. Next time we know somebody that is in a dark place, let's share the words of God, the words of life with them. What a wonderful passage. If any of you were like the jailer and have not heard the word of God, have not believed, have not repented, have not confessed, or have not been baptized, this is a perfect time for it. If you need prayers of the congregation to get you out of a little dark corner in life, we're here for you. Whatever we can do for you, please come forward. Let your needs be known while we stand and sing.